Well, also yesterday we had a birthday party in Wrigley Hall for Mary Jo Christman, celebrating her 80th birthday. And one of her new loves in life is owls. So one of her daughters made an owl cake. And in preparing the cake, she wanted to, she's used to, putting food coloring in to get different colors frosting. And so she wanted to make, it was a brown owl, so she wanted to get some brown frosting. So she was trying to figure, well, what colors do you mix together to get brown? And so she was online in this, chat room, how do you make brown frosting? And somebody said, just get chocolate frosting. And I thought, that's perfect. Like, don't we all do stuff like that, where we've got something in mind, and all of a sudden I go, now I see. I was like, I could have had a V8, that whole thing. And so the real point is that we don't see with our eyes. We see through these projections that we have in our minds. Of the way something is supposed to be, the way it's supposed to work out, the way we're supposed to get it done. And we miss what's right in front of us and what can be so easy sometimes. And particularly when we're working with other people, it's so easy to get caught up in what's wrong with them and what they're doing that we forget to see what's right with them and what they're doing in our life that is a blessing. And particularly for the people who are in our family, how much love we have for them. We sometimes forget to bring that into our thinking and into our conversation. Jesus said, do not judge by appearances, but judge with righteous judgment. And Gretchen mentioned the 12 powers. We've got our 12 power banner over there. And for judgment, I don't use that word judgment. I use the word discernment, because I think it takes us to what it is that we want to be more clearly. We want to be discerning, and I'll develop that some more. Those of you who saw the movie, The People Versus the State of Illusion, there was a place in there where he talks about how much information, how much sensory information we get every day. And again, depending on who's counting, millions, billions. And he says that of that, our brain can only process so much. And so one group of scientists had figured out that of all this stimulus that we get in a sensory way, how much do we actually process? And they had 0.00001%. They said, which is closer to zero than one. So how much do we get out of what's going on? Closer to zero than 1% of what's going on. And so as we know that, then when we look at things and we're listening to people, we can say, I don't have enough information. Here's the way Rumi put it. He said, study me as much as you like, you will not know me, for I differ in 100 ways from what you see me to be. Put yourself behind my eyes and see me as I see myself, for I have chosen to dwell in a place where you cannot see. And again, we have that phrase, walk a mile in somebody else's shoes or moccasins, if you want to understand them. And so if we start with that place, we don't understand other people, and be okay with that, and to know that we don't need to, but we can ask questions, and that's the model that we're using with this nonviolent communication, to ask questions to get more of that information. There was a person walking by a school that had a big high fence, and on the other side of the fence, they heard the kids chanting, 13, 13, 13. And as they came to a place in the fence, there was a little hole in the fence. The person looked through the fence and got poked in the eye. And the kids went, 14, 14. So you've heard that phrase, don't stick your nose where it doesn't belong. Don't stick your eye where it doesn't belong. Because we're going to confuse our observations with evaluations, judgments, and blame. We see something going on and we jump to that right away. There's in the book that we're studying, Communicating Across Differences, there's a story in here. This is from a woman named Mary Beth. She says, when I started paying attention to the judgments I was making, it was almost overwhelming. Every time I see someone, I'm thinking about how they're dressed, what they're doing, whether I trust them or like them, or else I'm thinking about me and whether or not I'm doing something wrong. And so we have this powerful gift of judgment, and we're applying it all the time and judging others and judging ourselves. And so we need to learn, to make that separation between what's actually there, the observation. Remember Sergeant Joe Friday in Dragnet? Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Who, what, where, when, how, just the facts. And separate that from what we're thinking about those facts, how we're judging them, what we're thinking about others in our lives. You know, you can be with someone, and you may have had conversations like this where one person says to the other, you know, in the car, "You're driving too fast." "No, I'm not." "Don't yell at me." "I'm not yelling." You know, it just sort of escalates beyond what it is that you really want to be experiencing in life. And so, you know, be aware of that. I remember in college, there was a group that I was in one time, and these two guys were having an argument. And as I was listening to them, I started to realize that they were really trying to say the same thing. And so I stopped them, and I said, "Is what you're trying to say this and this and this?" And they go, "Yeah." And he says to the other, I said, "And what you're trying to say is this and this and this?" And they said, "Yeah." "And don't you see that's the same thing?" They go, "Oh." They were arguing with each other from the same point of view. And I mean, just because they were arguing, you know, that was the model that they'd been in. And they had missed what was going on in life. And one of the ways to see it is to think of it this way, that there's something present. Somebody does something, something says something, something happens. But then we make a representation of it. You know, someone's driving at whatever, you know, speed, and you're going too fast. Well, again, that's an evaluation. We may, you know, if we said something about, you know, "I see that you're driving at 68 miles an hour, the road is wet, I would feel safer if you would slow down." That's a whole different conversation than "you're driving too fast!" And we'll get a different response, won't we? The other person may still not honor our request, but we're not arguing with them. We're not saying you're wrong. We're saying here's what would make me feel safer. So it's a whole different way of doing that. And so recognizing that shift, they tell a story in here, one of the authors, about attending a workshop in New York City on nonviolent communication. And they got up and made a few points and then sat down. And afterwards, one of the other presenters said, "Well, I feel disappointed and frustrated that you didn't get to talk more." He says, "Well, why?" "Well, weren't you supposed to be sharing the presentation, you know, with this other person?" And he said, "I just met this person. You know, they invited me to come up and say a few things, and then I sat down because it was their presentation." And the guy's, "Oh," whole different way of understanding what's going on when we get more information. And when we present our information from, "Here's what I'm seeing, here's what I'm perceiving, here's what I'm experiencing, here's what I'm feeling, here's what my needs are, here's my request," then it's not this, "You're doing this, and you're wrong, and you're wrong, and you're wrong." It comes from a whole different place, and it opens up a possibility of communication, where in the other case, there's no communication, there's just yelling at each other and misunderstanding. We've all had those experiences. And so we want to have that clarity of communication by seeing, really seeing what's going on. So the title of my lesson today is, Do I See What You See, Plato? And so again, it's about taking my responsibility of seeing if I see what they see, rather than saying, "Do you see what I see?" Because we want them to see our point of view, but are we willing to see their point of view? And Plato's an acronym. We'll come to that in a minute. So see, S-E-E is the acronym. So the S stands for to separate observations and evaluations. And again, just to show how this can happen, this is from actual witnesses in court cases. Attorney, "How old is your son, the one living with you?" Witness, 38 or 35, I can't remember which. "How long has he lived with you?" 45 years. So in another one, the attorney says to the witness, "What gear were you in at the moment of impact?" The witness, "Gucci sweats and Reeboks." Another one, the attorney to the witness, "Did you blow your horn or anything, you know, driving?" He says, witness, "After the accident?" Attorney, "Before the accident." "Sure, I played for 10 years. I even went to school for it." Attorney, "Sir, what is your IQ? Witness, "Well, I can see pretty well, I think." not always listening for the same thing, right? So, and we can even be walking down the street and somebody bumps up against us. And we can say, well, what's wrong with them? Why can't they be more considerate? We can have this whole thing grinding in our mind when what actually happened is they pushed us a little bit. Yeah, because they were busy, they didn't see whatever. Again, we don't know. We don't know. But in our minds, we can have this whole thing about what's wrong with them and their mother and the whole other thing that goes on and on and on, where we could just go, they bumped me, I'm going on. Yeah, not that big a deal. But again, we live within our representations. That's the experience that we have, not always what's present, but how we've seen in our mind and judged in our mind what's present and what's working. And what happens many times is we use generalizations. And here's just a few. She's always talking so loud. Always, even when she's asleep. You know, is she always talking so loud? You never listen to me. I love it in the Byron Katie doing the work. I love her turnarounds. And one of the turnarounds would be, you never listen to me as I never listen to you. Is that true? Well, sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. Extremely can be a generalization. You know, it's extremely frustrating to have to deal with this person. Well, what does that mean? You know, what happened? What actually took place? What did they actually do? You know, rarely is another one. Or two, I love the two. You know, you're too loud. You know, you're just too busy. You know, all the, it's like, well, what does that mean? It's not clear communication. And so we recognize that when we are evaluating, judging, and many times blaming the other person or blaming ourselves, we're not really clear about what it is that's going on, what our feelings are, and what our needs are that are unmet. And if we never get to being clear about what our unmet needs are we ever going to get them filled? It's unlikely. It may never happen. I'll use the generalization. And so we recognize that these things don't help. But we, again, use these things to justify our judgments, to justify our opinions, to present evidence, you know, against the other person or against ourselves. Sometimes we do that as well. And so here's the definition that they give of what an observation is. An observation is then a statement about what you or another has seen or heard, free of any evaluation, judgment, or blame. And I know that that's hard to do, because it's hard for me to do. I remember years ago when I was in Merced and I was doing the workbook of the Course in Miracles and going through the 365 exercises, there's a whole section there on judgments. And I remember working on that, and finding out how judgmental I am. And so after I finished that, I decided to dedicate the next year to identifying and releasing as many of my judgments as I could, and it was an awful year. It was just a horrible year because, again, we're judging people all the time. But what I found was that as I was getting clearer and clearer, that I would get an indication of my judgment much quicker. I'd be driving down the street, and somebody in front of me would, you know, do this little thing like that, and I go, well, what's wrong with them? And then I'd find my arms just, it's like doing that to me because I was in that energy of that judgment, recreating that experience in the midst of my own life. And I'm going, I don't want that. I want to release these judgments. I want to see more clearly who I am and what others are. So again, this is the work that we have to do. And if you really want to do this work, what I invite you to do is to get a notebook and carry it with you. And for maybe an hour or so a day, just really be clear about the judgments that you're making about yourself and others. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. One way, again, to come to this place of observation is to imagine that when you're thinking about a situation, and it's easier many times to do in retrospect than when you're in the middle of the situation, because, again, our feelings are caught up and we're in our judgments and we're not always being clear. But to look back and imagine that you had a special video camera. And what was it that actually happened? What was it that they actually said? What was it that I actually did? And to separate that from the judgments that we layer on top of that in our lives. And then what were the feelings and the needs that were there as a part of that? So that's the first part of this work, separate the judgment. And this is you know, not something that we'll do today and be set forever. This is an ongoing, lifelong experience. The first E in C stands for express. So once we've had some clarity about our observations, then begin to express them in our lives. And again, they give a wonderful example in the book of how not to do it and what would make it better. So this is, so here the boss comes in and says to you, "I can't believe how irresponsible you are. Is it too much to return a phone call to someone?" Okay, so what if the boss said this? "I just heard from Mr. Smith that he left 2 phone messages last week and hasn't heard back." That's the observation. "I'm concerned about this," the feeling, "especially given how important a client he is for us. I want the company to be sustainable. I also want a level of responsiveness in how we do business." That's the need. "I'm wondering what happened on your end. Did you get those messages?" There's the request. So a whole different way then. "What's wrong with you? You're an irresponsible..." You know, it's like, here's the information. So it's like, well, maybe you did return his phone call. Maybe you did, you know, it's like there's information that the boss needs, and you've got information. Then if he just comes in and tells you how irresponsible you are. So that's the model of expressing it in a way that really is helpful. So here's the Plato part. So an observation would be who, the person, location, where, the action that was taking on, what was going on, the time, what time was it, and what was the object that was, you know, what was the physical thing that happened. One of the examples they give in there, there's a person who's a vegan living in a household where everybody else is vegetarians. And the vegan says, "They contaminated the butter knife. Those vegetarians, they contaminated it." And so, well, what actually happened? Well, there was a butter knife on the table that the vegan had for their soy spread. The vegetarians used it with their butter, and now it's contaminated. Well, what actually happened is, you know, the knife was used with something they didn't want. Well, get 2 knives. It's, you know, it's like, it's not that hard. And we can live in this outrage about contamination or just get another knife. Leo Buscaglia talks about that. Someone comes in complaining that their spouse squeezes the toothpaste instead of rolling from the end. And he says, just get another tube of toothpaste. You know, it's like, it's not that hard. You can have one, you can roll, and the other person can squeeze. It's, you know, make it easy. Make it easy. And so we recognize, we live in this sense of, you know, what's wrong with that other person? Why can't they see the right way to do things? When there's just a simplicity that we can have in our lives. And so as we practice this clarity about what's actually there, then we can say, okay, here's what I saw. Here's the feelings that I have based on my judgments and observations and all the stuff that goes on in our minds. And here's what I need. And we can be clear about asking how to make this. And it's interesting because this formula was actually originally designed for making clear requests. And what the authors say, that it also works at this point here about observations, to have that clarity in our mind. The way that I like to see it is this. I like to see this as a treasure hunt. Because there's treasure in our relationships. There's treasure in being able to identify and fulfill our needs, but we're not always there because we're caught up in our judgments. So if we take the time to say, okay, so what's going on underneath? You know, what really happened? You know, and what are my feelings? What are my needs? And we treat it with that sense of excitement and anticipation that once I discover it, it's going to make me rich. It's going to fulfill my experience in a new way. Then we have that active way of doing this work, of separating the observation from the evaluations, and then clearly expressing what it is that we saw and what we need. And again, the work is then to translate our evaluations into observations, feelings, needs, and requests. So the second E, translate the judgments, observations into feelings and needs. So the second E, I found this word, extravagate. And what it means is to go beyond limits. And the way that I see it in this context is this, that we set up limits in our mind for ourselves and others about what's the right way to do things. What's the right way to toast a piece of bread? What's the right way to drive from point A to point B? What's the right way to dry the clothes? What's the right way? And, you know, we can go on and on and on about what we've come to think is the right way that somebody else has a different opinion on. And, you know, their way may be better. But if we're living in our way that is the right way, we're never going to find out that you can make brown frosting just by getting chocolate frosting. It's like, how easy is that? It doesn't need to be a battle. It doesn't need to be this hard thing. It can be something so easy in our lives. The other part of that too, then, is to go beyond the limits of who we think we are and who we think other people are. And remember that we're spiritual beings. And if we're spiritual beings, that means we are not bound to time. We are not bound to space. We are not bound to these bodies. We're not bound to this material experience. We're greater than that. That's part of why human beings dominate this planet, because we're able to see things that aren't there and bring them into reality. We're not stuck with just what shows up. There's something more that we can conceive of and bring forth. And so the step in spiritual work then is to live from that larger place. Some people call it the witness consciousness or the observer. That part that's present all the time, that's able to say, oh, there's a thought present in my mind. And then you can choose. Am I going to entertain this thought? Or am I going to dismiss this thought and entertain a different thought? Oh, that dress just looks so bad on her. So I'm glad she showed up. You know, you just entertain a different thought. And you, when you catch yourself in that, you know, and you know, so what's actually going on? When you have a feeling to realize and say, oh, I'm feeling sad, just say, oh, isn't it interesting I have this feeling in this moment? Because if you don't hold on to it too tightly, guess what? You'll find that there's other feelings there as well, and other feelings that'll come and go. So needs are met, sometimes unmet. Just be aware. Are they met? Are they unmet? If they're unmet, you know, if you rail and complain and make all kinds of noise, people may grudgingly help you fulfill those needs. But if you come from a place of acknowledging that other people have needs too and you like to see all the needs being met, that's a whole different experience. And so we're not tied to having it be according to our judgment, but just observing. Isn't that interesting? You know, my body's feeling uncomfortable right now. You know, what do I need to do? What do I want? And then and allow from that to unfold in what we want in our lives. So here, the scripture that we had today are these words from Jesus, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And what I think this means is this, that when our consciousness is clear and we're not caught in our representations instead of what's present, when we're not living from our judgments and our evaluations and our blame, but when we just can be present and say, oh, isn't that interesting? Here's what I'm thinking in this moment. Here's what I'm feeling in this moment. Here's my need in this moment. I'm going to make a request. When we live in that place of clarity, the word that's used here is pure in heart, but I think of it in terms of just being clear. Your energy's clear. You're not caught up in blaming. You're just present. They shall see God. You'll see that presence of God in yourself. You'll see that presence of God in others. Is this a fully realized presence of God? Mm-mm. Is that a fully realized presence of God? No. But that presence of God is there. And when that is what we're interacting with, and not a battle with someone else, what a different way of living. And so it comes back to this. Am I willing to take this stance of, do I see what you see? Not unless I ask questions, not unless I spend more time with you, not unless I go on this treasure hunt to find out more about where you're coming from, so that I can experience that and understand what your observations are, what your feelings are, what your needs are, and can I be in a place where I can support your request? Then it's a whole different way of being together, a way that will make a difference. We will judge, yes, I'm still judgmental. I catch myself more quickly. I laugh at myself a whole lot more in that process, saying, oh, there I'm being silly again, thinking I know who that other person is, forgetting who they really are. They're a child of God. The more conscious and when we're unattached to those judgments, then we can live with that fullness of joy in our lives and be committed to knowing and expressing that with as much clarity as we can moment by moment. When we have that better understanding of others and ourselves, we will find that it is this treasure hunt fulfilled, that what we find is a beauty and a richness and a joy in being in relationship in a way that really is enriching. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for the awareness of your living presence in and through us, moment by moment. We know that your gift is our life, our clarity, our joy, our peace. Thank you, God. Amen.